From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, I'll tell you a little bit about the Oxford Exxon on Highway 6 West. Go in, take your stadium cup that you got from Swayze Field over the weekend. You can refill it. Bottomless refills for 49 cents anytime at a Blue Sky location in Mississippi. Also, lunch specials, $4.99. Two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink for that. And also, just kind of giving you an early heads up, Credit Oil for another year hosting the FCA Breakfast. That is April 27th at the Manning Center, the Kessinger family, the special guests. So you can go ahead and get tickets now through the FCA website for that. We'll tell you more about it in time to come. But nonetheless, just a little reminder, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark and tell Corey what new Ford or what previously owned Ford you're looking for. Give him some ideas. He'll give you some quotes. He'll do it within 15 minutes in business hours, and you can take knowledge in the fact that that quote is a bottom line quote. It's right to the bottom line. It's there's no haggle. There's no hassle. And then you can take that quote, you can use it as a baseline to start shopping around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's easy, it's simple, it's right to the bottom line. 662-257-1900. Tell him that you heard about it on the Oxford Exxon Podcast or any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So it is spring break, no football practice this week with the academic calendar on pause. They'll return to finish up spring drills next week, going up to the spring game, the first Saturday in April, I believe. But still a busy week, as we'll get into basketball in just a second. Ole Miss beats Missouri on Saturday in Columbia, and now gets ready for the SEC tournament. They will play on Thursday early evening, not the late game, against the Alabama Crimson Tide in a 7-10 game. And the winner gets Kentucky on Friday, the two seed after Tennessee lost to Auburn on Saturday. Again, we'll discuss that in a minute. But it's a busy week is what we're getting at. We've also got baseball at Louisville on Tuesday and Wednesday. That is a 5 p.m. Eastern start on Tuesday. That's an 11 a.m. start on Wednesday Eastern, so 10 a.m. baseball on Wednesday morning. Point being, no podcast for travel purposes tomorrow, and then Wednesday for because there's a game at 10 a.m. It doesn't make a lot of sense when we have media day for basketball at noon. We have baseball at 10, so anything we'd be talking about would be obsolete before we even posted the podcast. So we will return with regular scheduled programming on Thursday. Just giving you a heads up to obviously preview Ole Miss and Alabama, and frankly Ole Miss and Alabama, because they start league play in baseball this weekend in Oxford with the Rebels and the Crimson Tide as well. So Ole Miss completes a 4-1 week in baseball, losing the game to East Carolina that we've talked plenty about on a Wednesday. And then basketball, Neil, in Columbia, Ole Miss 73, Missouri 68. Ole Miss really seemed like there for a while early in the second half, one basket away from kind of being blown out of that thing. Devontae Shuler takes over, Bruce Stevens with a big block late. TD kind of had the poster dunk. Everybody kind of contributed. Brian picked it up a little bit. If you had to kind of encompass a 5-6 minute stretch of the season, that was it, because they were faced with the same problems, the same warts that they've had in past games, not being able to close games out. And for this one, the one they had to have, they got it done.
Yeah, hold that thought for a minute, because I want to get to it, because you and I talked on the phone earlier that day, and I told you that was going to happen. Because that's how that is simply how life works. I'm convinced of it. But First, I want to have the quick Monday morning airing of grievances.
Okay.
I was so close to the 2:30 Thursday game. It was in my hands. The game was in my hands. I've dreamt of that moment, and it was right there. And
all you needed was Tennessee to cooperate.
All I needed was for a loose ball rebound not to bounce out to Jared Harper. Pure luck. He knocks a three down, and then Tennessee folds. And look, I'm not going to complain about 6 o'clock. I can make 6 o'clock work. But
you could have had 9 o'clock.
Could have. Was crestfallen when it went down. Literally was running on a treadmill watching the second half of Auburn, Tennessee. And I shut my run down. I was so disappointed about Tennessee's loss because I just knew at that moment, you're covering the 9 o'clock game again. And then people informed me that, no, that really wasn't possible. And that did comfort me somewhat. And then Ole Miss gets the 6 o'clock game, so it's okay. It's okay. I'll be done by 10:15, 10:30. It's not ideal, but it's so much better. No fans care. But it is what it is. When you are riding until 1 in the morning, you're leaving an arena at 1:15 to catch an Uber to your hotel, and you walk into your hotel room at 1:30 in the morning, wired. It's miserable. It's horrible. I hate it. So I'm glad that I don't have that. There's no prospect of that in front of me this week in Nashville. So all is well. To answer your question, I told you earlier in the day, and you know this with baseball, whatever a team's warts are, whatever they may be in any sport, when it comes down to getting over the hump, you must face those demons square in the eye. And for Ole Miss, it was closing out games, making free throws, getting a stop, just your typical standard close a game out kind of thing. And sure enough, to Missouri's credit, Konzo Martin teams are going to play hard. They're always going to play hard, and they play hard. And Missouri had been playing pretty well going into that game Saturday. I knew Ole Miss was in for a fight. No doubt in my mind that it was going to be a close game. I told you it was going to come down to final possessions, and it did. And as you mentioned, to Ole Miss's credit, they made plays. They got buckets. Different people did it. Tyree hit a little jump shot. Terrence Davis had the emphatic three-point play at the end of a game where, frankly, he was bad for 37 and a half minutes. Devontae Shuler, probably his best game this season in an Ole Miss uniform or any uniform. And then Bruce Stevens with a rim-protecting block. Terrence Davis makes his free throws, and Ole Miss closes out the season 10-8 in the league, 20-11 overall. Their net as of yesterday was like 34. They play Alabama on Thursday. Alabama's net is in the mid-50s. If Ole Miss wins, and I'll be honest, I expect that they will, they play Kentucky on Friday night, and their net is like 4 or 5. It's way, way, way up there. There is no scenario where Ole Miss plays its way out of the NCAA tournament. They're in.
Just in.
They're in. I mean, their net's going to stay in the 30s. They're in. Now, you know, you'd sleep better probably if you beat Alabama and then you play Kentucky and you look at them and go, wow, you guys sure do have a lot of fans. And then no matter what happens, your net's not getting harmed by playing the number 4 or 5 net team in the country on a neutral floor. Quote, neutral, end quote, floor. It won't be. So you're good. I mean, look, are you going to sleep a little better on Friday night if you lose to Kentucky than you would Thursday night if you lose to Alabama? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But you're in. You're either going to be a 9 –
I say, as of right now, everybody kind of has them as about an 8. And when you do the bid stealing thing, that typically means for that level of team, drop it down one line. So you're looking at a 9 or a 10.
That's what I think. But I mean, if you're an 8, the only difference, literally, I mean, before people, the only difference between an 8 and a 9
jersey color
is what color jersey you wear. That's it. I mean, if you're an 8, you're going to wear a white jersey. And if you're a 9, you're going to wear a red or a blue jersey. That's it. No difference. Doesn't matter. It's immaterial. And if you're a 10, you play a 2 in the second round if you win. And if you're an 8 or a 9, you play a 1. I mean, and for this team.
Would you rather be a 10 than an 8 or a 9?
I don't know.
I mean, I know we're nitpicking, but I'm just curious.
I mean, maybe a little. It depends on what your – it really depends on how – what your goal is. I mean, I know the goal is to keep winning and keep winning and keep winning. I get it. I understand that. And it's but I'm going to say this probably repeatedly over the next 2 weeks. I'm really happy for these kids. I know I was in the locker room in St. Louis a year ago when I think they lost to South Carolina on Wednesday night, or as Missouri or South Carolina or somebody. I'm pretty sure it was Carolina. And that was as miserable a group of kids as I've ever been around. They, no one knew what the future held. They knew that Andy Kennedy had been gone for a while. They knew that the interim coach wasn't getting the gig. They pretty much knew he was going to Memphis. I think most people expected it to be Kermit Davis, but they didn't know much about Kermit Davis. Bree and Tyree was thinking about transferring. Devontae Shuler was kind of starting to really second-guess his decision to go to Ole Miss. Terrence Davis was talking about going to the NBA or to just go play professionally. It was not a happy group of kids. And here we are a year later, and they're in the tournament with this incredibly thin, remarkably flawed basketball team. They're going to the tournament, and no matter what happens in the next 2 weeks, whether it's, you know, early exits both tournaments or whether they make little mini runs or whether they do something magical, I really encourage Ole Miss fans just to kind of enjoy it. The odds are overwhelming, in my opinion, that this is the least overall talented team that Kermit Davis will field in his time in Oxford. And they made the dance. And you got to be happy for Terrence Davis and for Bree and Tyree and, hell, for Bruce Stevens, because it would have been real easy for Bruce Stevens about a month and a half ago to go, you know what, this guy keeps yelling at me, and it's not working, and I'm just going to play the string out here and figure out what's next. And instead, he just kept busting it. And he has actually become a serviceable defender, especially in man. And, you know, they're getting it done. K.J. Buffin made plays the other night, even though the scouting report on him is out now. SAG, dare him to shoot it. Blake Henson made some plays, even though I think Blake's kind of – Kermit scoffs at the idea of the freshman wall. I feel better about it after listening to who's the cat that used to play at Arkansas? Pat Bradley. Pat Bradley talked about the freshman wall. He was talking about how he thinks Henson's hit it. I do too. But he's played through it a little bit. I'm just happy for the kids, but I'm mostly happy for those three guards, TD and Brian and Devontae Shuler. I mean, it's cool that they're going to get to play in the tournament. It's great that Terrence Davis's final game at Ole Miss is going to be in an NCAA tournament. It to me, that is as neat a story as there is. How many people second-guessed his decision to pick basketball over football, and then how many people second-guessed his decision to go to Ole Miss? How many people second-guessed his decision to stick with basketball midway through his career? How many people said, hey, you ought to just go to Europe and just go make some money last year? And he kind of kept coming back, and he kept coming back. And, you know, he's a flawed player. But he's defended at times this year. And, you know, I didn't think he felt particularly good on Saturday. And he was having one of those bad TD games. And then to make that play, kind of a signature play for their season, to just attack the basket, get the harm and the foul, make the free throw, and then hit the free throws at the 6-second mark or whatever to put it away, I just kind of thought it was fitting. So, I don't know, it's a really long-winded thing I'm saying. there's a lot of talk about seeds and stuff, and that's fun this time of year. Just know that this is probably not a second weekend team. If this team makes the second weekend, they knocked off somebody in the second round. And at that point, it's literally
they became the national story of the weekend.
Yeah, but I think it's gravy anyway. Like, if you told me that, you know, they lose by 7 or 8 to Kentucky on Friday night and then get to the second round of the NCAA tournament and lose to Gonzaga by 11 or something, I totally would buy that. And I would tell you that what a remarkable season. There's not a soul on earth attached to that program or in the fan base who, if I told you at the beginning of the year, this team's going to make the second round of the NCAA tournament, that you wouldn't have said done.
So Jerry Palm updated his bracket yesterday morning, 6:11 a.m. if you'd like a specific time, as I've got it in front of me right now. Obviously, after all the Saturday games, there's a couple interesting things here as it pertains to the SEC. I know people are going to ask that I haven't seen this. He has Ole Miss as an 8 seed in Salt Lake. He has them playing Utah State in the first round, so they'd see John Hartwell. And
that doesn't seem fair.
Do what?
That does not seem fair that Utah State would essentially get a home game as a 9 seed.
That does not seem fair, does it?
No.
They would have to wear blue jerseys, but yes. The winner would get Gonzaga in the second round, or third round, I guess, if you will. Auburn is also in that bracket as a 7 seed, playing 10 seed TCU, if you're just curious. But here's what I find interesting. So a couple different things, SEC-wise. Again, I mean, I'm not worried about what a bracket says who somebody's playing. That's irrelevant. Here are the two things that is relevant, or that are relevant, because Paul's pretty good at what he does. He and you disagree a little bit here. He has Florida as the very last team in the tournament as of right now. Dead last. He has them in a first four game against Clemson in Dayton.
Yeah. Look, he's really good at what he does.
Net is 33.
It's the one metric for them that screams, we're good. I never do this, but on Thursday, I'm actually going to go to the arena early. I'm looking forward to sitting on press row, not having to work, and watching Florida, Arkansas. Because I think Florida needs to win that game. And I've watched Arkansas the last couple of weeks. No, not because my daughter's going there. I've just happened to watch them. I watched them against Kentucky. I covered them in person. I saw some of their game against Vanderbilt, and I watched their game against Alabama the other night because obviously it impacted what I was going to write. They're playing really well. Gafford's playing really well right now. Isaiah Joe is playing really well right now. Jalen Harris is playing really well right now. They are playing with some confidence. They have a little swagger to them. Not a lot, but a little. And Gafford, man, is a handful. It's Florida's in a weird spot. They need to win that game. If they beat Arkansas, it's a solid neutral court win, and then they get LSU on Friday, and God only knows what LSU will be by Friday. But if they lose to Arkansas, that's nervous time. That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Nashville on Thursday. You're out.
You were awful down the stretch.
You were awful down the stretch.
You're below 500 in league play.
Yeah, and you've got to wait. Yeah, you could be 9-10 in the league. And you've got to wait until Sunday afternoon to find out whether you get in or not. That would be nerve-wracking. But the 33 net, it's such a good number. I mean, you know, it's...
Here's the catch to that, and I'm from the way outside just thinking, we have no idea because it's year one for the net.
And that's more than fair.
Now, they say they're going to operate it just like RPI, but until they get in the room, I kind of want to see that.
And if they operate it like RPI, it's kind of hard to not put them in because RPI was always their crutch.
Well, because it feels like, and I'm getting to this point right here, it feels like Palm is focused on something else. I don't know what that something else is. You've talked to him. I haven't. But where I'm going with this and where it's directly related to Ole Miss's first game, Alabama the very first team out of his bracket as of yesterday morning.
Yeah.
With a 58 net.
And I don't get it, because when I watch Alabama and Florida, I would pick Florida every time.
He has Bama, NC State, St. Mary's, and Belmont in his first four out. The RPI, the nets to those teams, 58, 32, 37, 45. NC State, 32 net, 21 and 10 overall, playing in the ACC, and he has them out.
I don't get it. And Ole Miss, he's got them as an 8 seed, so firmly in the tournament.
He has Clemson, 19 and 12 in the ACC, 35 net. I mean, skin of their teeth in. So what is he focused on?
I don't know.
Because it's not net. I don't know if it's just, hey, I've talked to the members and this is what I'm telling you is going to happen or what it is, but it's something other than net with his bracket.
What does Lenardi have? Is he updated?
I'll pull it up while we're talking. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I lost a little sleep after I wrote it as strongly as I wrote it. I thought, well, what if they don't get in? I mean, I'll get killed.
Well, that is the funny thing, is everybody's like using the headlines, Rebels punch ticket and all, and it's like, I mean, I get it, and we're right, but what are we basing this off of, per se?
Well, I'm basing it off talking to people in the business.
Okay, March 11th is when Lenardi has updated his, so that's this morning. He has Ole Miss, a 9 seed, playing Washington in Columbus, Ohio.
I could live with that.
They play Virginia if they win.
Okay.
Let me find the last fours and stuff, because that's all that really matters. He has the last four byes, meaning teams not in Dayton. St. John's, Texas, Florida, and Temple.
Okay.
His last four in is NC State, TCU, Clemson, and Ohio State. So that's Dayton teams.
So he does not have Alabama in the tournament.
He has Alabama, the number four team outside the tournament. So he has Bama three spots worse than Palm does.
Bama's going to be tight as a damn drum Thursday night.
They've got to win, they got to get to Sunday or even win the dang tournament. One or the other.
Yeah, their problem.
If they're not getting in.
No, because if they beat Ole Miss, you turn around and there's Big Blue.
Yeah, neutral floor, though. It's all good.
You ever been to the tournament?
No, I've actually never been to a game of that tournament.
It's when Kentucky plays in the tournament, it is a circus.
Yeah.
It is because I'm trying not to stereotype the hell out of this. It is so many of the Kentucky fans who could never get a ticket.
It's the Bama spring game basketball style.
Yeah. And they're all there. It is their vacation. They're drunk. And there's no better from a laugh at people standpoint. Now the league just dies inside because they see the money just burning. There's nothing more fun than watching Kentucky lose on Thursday or Friday and watching their pissed off fans walk out of that building drunk.
You'll get free tickets. Just stand outside and they'll hand them to you.
Yeah, just don't be obnoxious and they'll hand them to you.
Yeah.
Hilarious, because they're so angry.
Yeah. Continue basketball talk in 1 second. So we do that. I'll tell you about Scripted Jewelry. ScriptedJewelry.com. Sizing guides, lookbooks, frequently asked questions, and plenty of options to personalize that gift for the special someone in your life. You put your special message on it in your handwriting. Also, other options if you'd like something a little different. They have tons of those, and the turnaround times are so good, you'll get it when you need it. That's Scripted Jewelry, and you're going to save money in the process because you're going to put Rebels10 into the coupon box, REBELS10, and get 10% off. Again, that's ScriptedJewelry.com.
Guest will join us this week. I'm not sure when, but at some point this week. Guests will join us on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm, and that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. Warm weather's on the horizon, and with it comes the inevitable debate of sock or no sock with your loafers. Save your feet and your shoes from making their own impression by stepping into spring with some no-shows from Dead Soxy. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's the first step in dressing for the job that you want and not the job you have. So go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including sale items. These no-shows are the same quality you already love and enjoy with Dead Soxy's traditional dress socks. And again, they come with the no-slip guarantee. So go to deadsoxy.com, check out their no-show collection. Remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders. My analysis, I guess, column, not sure which one it was, from Saturday's game against Missouri is sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in 3 states. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. Pinnacle Trust treats investing like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research and not emotions. And regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. PinTrust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to PinTrust.com. That's PinnTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market, a leader in condo financing and the float down option. So lock in the current rate, but if rates come down before you close, you just get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. There's a couple things interesting about Palm's bracket. As I'm kind of looking at it, you know, Ole Miss saw an Iowa State team on top of its game that day in Oxford, just shooting the lights out. They're so good offensively, but they are incredibly inconsistent. In saying that, I would really like this bracket. I think they'd win their first round game, and then we might get a popcorn game. He has Iowa State as an 8 seed in this thing, playing Syracuse in the first round. With a win, the Cyclones would play Kentucky.
Ooh.
That'd be fun.
Ooh. I'd watch.
If you're the 1 seed, you don't want Iowa State in game 2.
Oh, hell no.
Because they could guard the hell out of you for a game.
Well, and they can score at such an elite level.
Yeah, I guess I meant guards, not guard, but yeah.
Yeah, if they can score at such an elite level that if you have one of those weird shooting nights, it's over.
Now, they can miss and kind of look like Auburn on the bad nights and you run them out of the building, but that's the chance you're taking.
Sure. But, you know, when you're an 8 seed, a 9 seed, and you win that first game, I mean, your message in the locker room is, hey, fellas, free shot. I mean, it's no pressure. It's why I'm fascinated to watch Ole Miss now. There's no pressure. It's off. And, yes, the pressure was building up. There's no way around it. I know everyone will deny that, and that's cool. That's coach speak, player speak. They were pressing. Absolutely pressing. Now they won't. I don't think they have to. It would be fun to watch this Ole Miss team on a Saturday or Sunday of the NCAA tournament against a 1 or a 2, where basically the pregame message is, hey, listen, fellas, if we lose, we're going to go back to the hotel and kind of have a party. We're going to celebrate what we did. And if we win, we're Cinderella.
Yeah, now we're rolling.
Let's just go play, see what happens. And just go play your asses off for 40 minutes and if you get beat by a Duke or a Gonzaga or a whatever, you go, hey, it's okay. It's all good. It's cool. No one thought we'd win.
Yeah, Palm has Ole Miss on the same line as far as 8 seeds as UCF, Iowa State, and Baylor.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Baylor's a lot like Ole Miss in that regard. They get into a second round game and...
Sorry, he has Baylor a 9, Wofford, not Baylor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wofford's the same way. I've watched them a couple of times. You just set your hair on fire and play in the second round. See what happens. Nothing to lose. I mean, literally, the message I give my team is if we lose, we're going to have a party tonight. So have no regrets. Leave it all out there. Those games are scary for one seeds because the one seed has everything to lose.
Has State a 6, has Auburn a 7.
God, I wouldn't want to play Auburn as a 7. Ooh.
Just kind of scrolling through it. Has LSU as a 2.
Yeah, their deal's weird, man. I'm telling you, this Naz Reid, quote, injury, end quote, I'm skeptical.
Hey, he got hit in the face. He's going to be out 6 weeks.
I am skeptical.
Kentucky as a 1, Tennessee as a 2.
Yeah, I buy that.
You good there?
Kentucky looks really good. I saw them in Oxford, obviously, a week ago. They just popped Florida the other day. Those freshman guards are Cal's done a really good job. Those freshman guards are not playing like freshmen. Washington is a load. I assume they'll get Reed Travis back. They're really good.
You might have seen this on Twitter or just seen it somewhere else or already knew it, but I'll ask you the question anyway. So on the bottom half of the SEC, Vanderbilt finishes 0-18. And in league play, their women, by the way, went 2-16 as well. So really good basketball being played in Nashville currently this season. Who's the last SEC team to go winless on the men's side?
I have absolutely no idea. I did not see this.
You don't know this?
I don't.
Would you like to take a guess or you may just tell you?
No, just tell me.
All right. There have been 10 men's teams in SEC history to finish with a winless conference record. Okay?
Okay.
However, none since Georgia Tech.
Really?
1953-1954 Yellow Jackets went 0-14 in the league.
Well, I wrote in 10 Thoughts on Vanderbilt that you have to try to go 0-18.
Yeah, 6 Sewanee teams went winless in SEC play between 32 and 40, and then Florida went 0-6 in 42-43. So the Florida Gators are the last current SEC team prior to Vanderbilt to go winless in league play.
Wow.
Yeah. Georgia Tech, 53-54.
Wow, that is unbelievable.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know what's funny is if you had told me on whenever that was, January the 11th or 12th or whatever, when Ole Miss played, maybe it was before that. It was January, I don't know, whatever. Ole Miss opened the SEC season in Nashville against Vanderbilt. And if you would have told me that night that team was not winning one game, I would not have believed it.
I think it would have scared Ole Miss people that week if you go, hey, just heads up, guys. One of these two teams is going 0-18 in the SEC. just heads up here.
I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, no way.
Oh, gosh.
Frankly, if you had told me that going into the game, I would have said, God, is the league that good that Ole Miss isn't going to win a game?
Well, Vanderbilt goes 0-9 at home. LSU goes 9-0 on the road. On the year, which one's harder to do? It's home games, right? That you don't win a home game somewhere.
I guess, man, 9-0 on the road is one hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, they went 9-0 on the road.
6-3, is that right? 6-3 at home.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they lost to Arkansas. Who else did LSU lose to? Florida. They lost to Arkansas and Florida.
So they just went 14-2.
Yeah, I think they went 16-2.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's correct. 16-2.
Yeah, Arkansas got them in Baton Rouge, and Florida got them in Baton Rouge.
Injuries changed the SEC in so many ways. Frankly, Ole Miss, one of the biggest benefactors to that. You got the Garland kid at Vanderbilt that got hurt. You've got Porter at Missouri that gets hurt. Obviously, Reed Travis at Kentucky. And I get every league has injuries. That's not my point. My point being, though, that if Garland is on that Vanderbilt team, they don't go 0-18. I don't know what they go, but it's not 0-18. They might beat Ole Miss in the season opener. And then if Porter is on Missouri, they're a bubble team or in. So I don't know how it changed necessarily the teams in the tournament, but I do think Ole Miss is one of the biggest benefactors to the injuries in the league, given the timing being that it was your first SEC game and your last SEC game with Vanderbilt and Missouri, and then the fact that they also went 3-0 against those teams that would have been substantially better with those two superstars.
Oh, I think that's fair. You'll get criticized for it, but I think that's fair. To me, the big accomplishment for Ole Miss is 5-4 on the road.
Yeah. No doubt.
It's winning in Starkville.
Auburn.
It's winning at Auburn, which was their signature win. It was the one that changed their season.
Well, and even playing really well and winning the neutral site game against Baylor.
Yeah, it was huge.
It's away from home.
And it was, frankly, they should have beaten Florida. And you let that shot fall, and Florida's out. They're done.
Yeah, just done.
Done. You let that shot not fall, I should say, that run over, that falling away 28-footer to tie it. That thing doesn't go down. And Florida's done today. Ole Miss is up 7 or whatever. It doesn't matter. But they're done today. Absolutely done. Actually, Ole Miss would be the – I guess they'd be the 5 seed.
I still couldn't have got the 4. We won more?
No.
Because Carolina went 0-2, I mean, 2-0 down the stretch.
Yeah. I'd get my 230 game.
You would, yeah. Yeah. Just saying. So you put it in 10 thoughts. You had your first team All-SEC, second team All-SEC, third team, whatever you went to. You had Coach of the Year. You do get a vote. You say you're voting for Kermit Davis. I think he probably wins. Certainly a compelling argument. If he doesn't win, who does win? What are we realistically looking at for Coach of the Year as it's announced this week?
If he doesn't win, Barnes will win. And I think
to me that makes no sense because he technically underachieved.
He did because they were supposed to win it and they didn't. I tell you who could win it. He won't win it, but I'll tell you if you told me, okay, Neil, you can't vote for Kermit Davis. He's out.
I told you this 2 weeks ago. I still believe it.
If you told me I could not vote for Kermit Davis, no way, it was against the law, I was going to go to prison if I did it, I'd vote for John Calipari.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking you were going to say Frank Martin.
No, I'd vote for Cal.
Okay.
Because early in the season, this team did not look like a national title contender. And they do now. It's actually a really good coaching job.
You think there's enough freedom fighting, no way Will Wade wins?
Can't win.
Well, I mean, he can.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even consider voting for him, and I'm not a freedom fighter.
Right.
So, if you take that into account, I mean, the freedom fighters in journalism are not going to vote for Will Wade.
What kind of odds could I have gotten if your bracket was 100? I mean, if your little list was 100% correct, going into the season that Ole Miss would have more All-SEC players than Kentucky?
Oh, you could have gotten any odds. And look, TD might not make it. And if he doesn't, it's because the league is loaded. Loaded.
And you have Brian Tyree, a first-team All-SEC guard, along with Tremont Waters, Daniel Gafford, Grant Williams, and Chris Silva.
Yeah, and if you told me Silva didn't make it at first-team, I'd buy it, although he should. He's a great.
So, if he doesn't, it's because Washington makes it?
Yeah, it's Washington. If you told me that Weatherspoon makes it over Tyree, I'd buy it. Those two have damn near identical numbers.
How are Tyree's numbers compared to Schofield?
Better.
Okay.
Yeah, better because Schofield.
He's a media favorite now.
He is, and he's a great player. He's a great player. Look, the league's really, really good. I mean, the league's really good. You can make legitimate arguments for a bunch of guys. The league's really good. It truly is. I mean, you can make an argument for, you know, Jared Harper being a first-team All-SEC guy. He's had a great year. The league's really, really good. It's really good. It's as loaded as it's been since I've covered it. There really is only one terrible team, and then there's a couple of teams that are struggling. A&M, Georgia's appear to have.
They quit.
They appear to have quit. The other teams, I mean, look, Arkansas is the 9 seed in this, and I can make a compelling argument for Arkansas making the final. They're good. I mean, they're good. They're legitimately a good basketball team. I don't think they're headed to the tournament, but they are a legitimately good basketball team. This league's loaded, man. On a tip, the last few years, that Arkansas team would have won 12 games I'd have gotten in.
Anderson's safe.
Depends on who you talk to. Okay. And it depends on who wants the job. Does Kelvin Sampson want the job? Some people say he does. Some people say he's using it as a little leverage over Houston to get every last thing that he wants from Houston. And that if he gets that, he'll stay at Houston because if he stays at Houston long enough, his son can inherit the gig.
Ah.
So there's a lot of moving pieces there.
We'll move on with the show in a second. First, tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773. You get a free quote by giving them a call or emailing them at info@gomastercuts.com. Get that contract signed for 2019. We'll take care of a basic maintenance from yard mowing to edging to weed eating and much more, and even more difficult things like building fences, decks, patios, whatever else you need. MasterCuts takes care of that. They do custom playgrounds, and they do any flower bed maintenance you need. So again, MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Podcast also brought to you by the Weston Jackson. I'll have my mailbag up sometime Wednesday. I'll put out a thread here in a little bit. Go to the Weston Jackson if you're passing through Jackson, if you're doing business in Jackson. That is the place to stay. If you're not staying there, I don't really know what you're thinking. And if you live in or around Jackson and you don't need a hotel room, you can still go to the Weston Jackson, visit Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. And then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. It's spring break time, so you're probably starting to think, okay, what's my next trip? And you're thinking about summer. You need to get on that now. Get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. What you do is you call John, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and you let him give you some options that you're not going to find on your own. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy and the people there at Grenada Nissan. Tell them that you heard about Grenada Nissan on this podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. My 10-weekend thoughts are up at rebelgrove.com. Actually, posted them a little after 6 o'clock last night. I was kind of pleased with myself. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's got a big project that we're going to be telling you about here very soon. So you need to get on his site. If you're thinking about moving to Oxford, if you're thinking about retiring to Oxford, really exciting development. About 0.7 miles from the square that Harry is very much involved in. And it's a big opportunity for people to move to Oxford and enjoy all of the benefits that this community provides. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Neighborhoods and Properties tab, filter through by what you're interested in, what you're looking for, and then send them an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Blow Dry Bar, Oxford, 1801 Jackson Avenue, 10 to 6, Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 3 on Saturdays. For the guys listening, go stop in, get a gift card for the lady in your life. She'll appreciate it. You'll earn some points and you'll save money in the process when you mention rebelgrove.com with the ever popular blowout and many other options for the females listening or in your life. Again, 662-638-3310, voted best new business in Oxford for 2018. Again, right there, 1801 Jackson Avenue. It's 10 to 6 Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 3 on Saturdays. All right, let's see. What did I have up next? I had something kind of picked out. If I get to it, I've got 1,000 tabs open. It's okay. Let's see. What's the LSU deal going to look like as we kind of close out basketball here? I don't necessarily mean Will Wade. We're kind of waiting on that. It is what it is at the moment. But that team sitting out at least one player, to me, I mean, I would be tempted just to go for broke if I'm LSU because the season's potentially a wash anyway. What difference does it make? How do you think they kind of handle this thing moving forward?
It appears that they're going to play it conservative. Here's the thing. This is according to multiple sources. Greg Sankey's pissed. Now, I know fans go, well, screw Sankey. I get it. But when you're a member institution and you've got to deal with Sankey, that's a factor. And I don't think there's a chance in hell that Greg Sankey is handing a championship trophy to Will Wade on Friday and that photo op. To me, there's no chance. Now, after that, who knows? Here's the problem. LSU went to sit down with Will Wade, and he wouldn't do it. They wanted to ask questions. He wouldn't answer them. That's a problem.
Same thing Bruce Pearl did, and he's still there.
It is. The difference was Bruce Pearl's deal happened early enough in the year that Auburn had some time to think about it. This deal's happening, like, you know, a day before a game. What do you do? And the SEC's livid. They do not want that to be the talking point there. And I know I can hear the fans going, well, so what? I'm just telling you so that you know what the deal is. The league is heavily involved in this. And if you're LSU, you're scared. I mean, here's LSU's problem from a deniability standpoint. Yeah, the story broke on Thursday, but it wasn't the first time that this story was out there. People knew that Will Wade was wrapped up in this. People knew that Will Wade had a subpoena. He's got to appear, along with Sean Miller, he's got to appear in this court case in about 3 weeks. Will Wade has a reputation. LSU knew that reputation. So for LSU to do this, oh, we're blindsided. That's disingenuous. And that's where the league gets involved. Why didn't, when the league says, did you know about this? No, we didn't know about it. How the hell did you not know? And this is embarrassment time because, look, what's been the talking point with SEC basketball for the last year and a half, 2 years? It's been, oh, man, we've revamped the league.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how good the league is. Look at how good the coaches
started
are.
Started with scheduling, got people to care, put money into it, resources, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah. You look around, and there's big crowds everywhere. Big crowds, and everybody's good.
8 teams in the tournament last year, probably 7 this year.
7, maybe 8 if Cinderella gets hot. But 7's good. Half the league in the tournament this year. Good coaches. You know, I mean, Tennessee hires Rick Barnes, and Ole Miss hires Kermit Davis, and Mississippi State hires Ben Howland, and you've got all these really good X and O coaches and blah, blah, blah. And the story on Friday is that Greg Sankey's got to hand the SEC championship trophy to LSU, and he's got to hand it to Will Wade, who's all wrapped up in this thing in no way. That's part of the deal. And fans can say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, I'm not arguing necessarily. Although I will say this, and I catch myself defending the craziest people. I agreed with Dan Wilkins' column last week. I did. I read it. I agreed with it. And I kind of catch myself. I love to make fun of Joe Oliva. But I think I'd have done the same thing. It's a federal wiretap, Chase. Pete Thamel's not making those quotes up.
No. I'm not arguing any of that. I'm simply arguing, what good is it doing you?
Well, it's probably not, but I don't know that when you're busted.
Sean Miller's still coaching. We'll get to him in 1 second, but he's in the exact same boat Wade is, and he's still coaching.
He is, but he might not be after this federal court case.
Well, I know, but that's kind of my point. I do think there is an end here where it's all over. I'm just kind of curious, other than PR reasons, why it matters a hill of beans right now from a pragmatic standpoint.
My guess is the SEC has told him, if you want help from us, he's not coaching.
Did almost a lot of good. I mean, you're right. I'm more playing devil's advocate.
Let's go there. Let's do this. The SEC told Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss to get Barney Farrar off the damn road.
Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss went, no, not doing it. Not doing it. They said either put him in a coaching capacity or get him off the road. This is causing too many problems. Nope, not doing it.
I do not believe that Sankey has the clout that Mike Slive did. Hence, I believe that when you get to the point of any NCAA issues, because Will Wade being on the wiretap, if the NCAA wants to bust LSU, is going to move LSU past all that Barney Farrar stuff, all the way down the Express Highway. I mean, we're on the Autobahn to a COI hearing at some point. So when you get to that, at that point, it's up to whoever's in that chair, regardless of what Greg Sankey says. It's up to whatever the NCAA wants to prove or doesn't want to prove at that moment.
Unless, and we're kind of devil's advocating other right now, because neither one of us really give a damn. Unless you say, how do we avoid getting absolutely hammered? Well, we pulled them. We pulled Smart. Maybe we heard Reed was involved. We pulled him too. We fired the coach.
Oh, it's the same proactive measures that everybody else does. It's just so pick and choose on whether it works or not.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But now, the whole give the NCAA the great big middle finger and we're going to go do this. There's two things. Number one, I'm not convinced that works. But number two, I'm not convinced that the league is going to allow that to happen. Now, if you told me that LSU, no Will Wade this week in Nashville, no photo op, and then LSU goes, hey, we've dug into this and we just can't really find any proof. He's back. They're all back in the first round of the tournament. I'd buy that.
See, I buy that too, because I think this is all very, very simple. I don't think it's about pragmatism or any of that. I think it's because Greg Sankey said so, period.
Oh, he will not be there Friday.
I think that's all this is. I don't even think Joe Oliva at the end of the day had a decision to make.
I completely agree. And unless you hear...
He might have yelled at Sankey and cussed him in the process, but at the end of the day, he's doing what Greg Sankey told him to do.
I completely agree. And unless you hear a story that, hey, Pete Thamel made this up, unless you hear that there, in my mind, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong, because it'll be great theater on Friday, and I'll go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you hear that this story was made up and the journalism was completely false, there's no chance, in my opinion, no chance at all, Will Wade's coaching Friday.
So here's a curious thing. Speaking of Will Wade and Sean Miller, both in the same boat. Miller was first caught with one of those wiretap things, too, back in the day when this first was kind of new. He finished the regular season at Arizona Saturday with a loss to the Sun Devils in Tucson. He grabbed the mic, he talked to the crowd, and here's what he said, quote, "There's no place that's more magic than the McHale Center. There are no fans in the world that are more loyal. It's been an amazing honor to coach in the McHale Center for the last 10 years. Thank you for everything." Kind of cryptic. Asked after the game if that had any type of meaning. He said no comment.
Yeah, it does. He's gone.
It's over. Peace.
They're going to be... Here's the anticipation of virtually everyone in college basketball. This is not one coach saying this. This is multiple coaches saying this. And not just to me, but to other people. A bomb's going off next month. It might be subtle. There might be some guys that retire. There might be some guys that go to the NBA. Don't be surprised if Bill Self is coaching in the NBA next year. But this is going to get shook up. Absolutely. No way around it. So that's where your LSU, you ask about LSU, you're weighing the pros and cons of basically a middle finger. I mean, their fans and their media, holy God. I mean, listen, if you're listening out there in LSU land and the media, take a step back, fellas. I mean, some of you guys are writing things that are going to look so stupid in a month. Take a step back. But that fan base wants they want LSU to just rebel and play them. I mean, they want the whole just absolute vigilante attitude. And I just don't know that that's Joe Oliva. I don't know that's the way he's wired. I don't know that's where that goes. And like you said, I don't know whether Sankey's going to allow it. And at the end of the day, the league says you can't do this. I mean, I know you still can, but it's not the best move in the world. And if you're LSU, is it really worth it?
Oh, I mean, sitting him out for the SEC tournament doesn't mean a hill of beans. They played Vanderbilt, and they're playing an SEC tournament game where if they lose it on Friday, there's still a freaking 2 seed somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's why I think what's going to be most interesting for LSU is what happens next.
This could be, at this point, it's simply PR posturing. We'll see where it goes.
I mean, if you told – and I'm picking it. I predicted it in 10 thoughts. I think Arkansas is going to get them on – if Naz Reid's not playing – Arkansas
beats gives Florida. Gafford a pretty good look down low, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they've already beat them once. I think Arkansas would beat LSU. And so LSU would go home, and frankly, that's probably what they want to do. It's what the league certainly wants them to do. The league wants them the hell out of there. I mean, you all that love the black helicopters, those bad boys are going to be circling around noon on Friday because every call. I mean, y'all won't tell me what the league wants. The league wants them gone because they don't want that the announcers talking about that on Saturday.
Yeah, get that done. Pig suey. Send Arkansas to Saturday. And, hey, at the same time, maybe Arkansas wins two more and gets in that son of a gun.
Yeah, Arkansas can be a cute story. Gafford's a really good player, and he's a funny kid. And then, you know, Mike White, everybody loves Mike. And so if it's Florida, you know, everybody likes Florida. They're kind of vanilla ice cream, but, you know, everybody likes Mike. It's a good story. No one's going to say anything bad about the Gators or Mike or whatever. So either Florida or Arkansas in a semifinal on Saturday against Tennessee would it be Tennessee? Hell, I don't know. It'd be somebody. Auburn, I guess. Auburn, South Carolina. Either one of them would be preferable to having LSU. Can you imagine an LSU South Carolina semifinal where all they're talking about is LSU's interim coach and Will Wade? And nope, no way the league wants that.
Is Auburn out of the woods with their deal?
No. I mean, listen. The Person trial's coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
It's my educated opinion that Alan Green wants to fire Bruce Pearl.
Doesn't have the capital to do it?
Not yet.
It's a funny place. Auburn's always good for a laugh, if nothing else. They want Gus run out on a rail, but protecting Pearl through all this deal.
It's, I don't know. It's interesting because it's that whole, are they protecting him or are they just waiting to be able to get rid of him with cause?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just a lot there. I'm telling you, this tournament's going to come and go, and then basketball's going to get crazy in April. I mean, it's already impacting recruiting. LSU's recruiting is going to go to hell. And so they've got to figure this out. I mean, here's the problem for LSU. Everybody goes, well, just go win the championship. Okay, fair enough. The tournament is so one and done. Everybody's watched the tournament. You don't need me to tell you that. I mean, upsets will happen. They always happen. You can get beat on any given day. You're not playing best of seven series. So if you're gambling that, you know, we're going to win it. Okay, well, if you thumb your nose at everybody and then lose in the second round to Iowa State, it's real risky. I think you've got to take a step back this week if you're LSU, and you've got to figure out exactly what it is you're dealing with, get real, and then go from there.
Yeah. We'll switch to baseball in 1 second. Before we did, I'll tell you about G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M right there on South Lamar in Oxford. They deliver to your home or workplace. They provide MedSync, which allows you to sync up all your medications for the month. Make it easy to take the right thing at the right time. 662-236-2222 for questions or to transfer your medications. Don't have to stay with the big chain. You can head on over to G&M. I've been telling you for a while that now offer CBD that comes in multiple different options, including sublingual oil, soft gel capsules, or topical salves. CBD is an all-natural product that helps maintain overall health and helps regulate many conditions such as depression, anxiety, pain, insomnia, and more. It is FDA approved. You can't always say that about the options on the internet. Again, that is GNM in Oxford, 662-236-2222.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
It was, I guess, 5 years ago when Mercer beat Duke in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Mercer coach, Bob Hoffman, fired this morning, 5 years later. So didn't got a little honeymoon period there, but the road ends for Mr. Hoffman with Mercer.
Hell of a run.
Hell of a run. He'll never have that day taken away from him. That is a fact.
Hey, I know you're going to switch to baseball real quick. People will like this. There's some Bet Online has some college football playoff odds.
Okay.
It's a yes, no. Yes, they make the playoff. No, they don't.
Sure.
For Alabama, a yes is minus 250.
Okay.
A no is plus 195. For Clemson, yes is minus 250. No is plus 195.
Okay.
Georgia is yes is a plus 110. And a no is a minus 140. So it's a 67.8% chance that Alabama and Oklahoma make the playoff. 44.9% that Georgia makes it. Here's the interesting one.
Sure.
Michigan. Yes is plus 300. No is minus 400.
Ooh.
Same odds for Notre Dame. Ohio State, yes is plus 160. No is minus 200, meaning 36.6% chance. They make it. Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, yes is plus 145. No is minus 175.
Gosh, that's it. Ugh.
And then Texas, yes is plus 350. No is minus 500. 21.1% chance Texas makes the playoff.
I'll be honest. I listen to every one of those, and I don't like any of the odds to bet on them. I don't have enough of odds to take any of those bets.
I agree. Nothing stuck out with me.
Because I felt like I was either just throwing money away or not getting enough value to do it, one or the other.
Yeah.
It's crazy that with Alabama, your better bets just go, yeah, sure, they're making it. Why not?
The only one of those that did anything for me at all is, and it's not enough, like you said, there's no value in it, is Oklahoma.
It feels step back for me with them this year.
Yeah, I'm not convinced Hurts does with Oklahoma what Hurts does.
Yeah, you're coming in after Mayfield and Murray.
Yeah.
So, Ole Miss goes 4-1 on their baseball week. They sweep UAB and did it in a little different ways. They can win by scoring 15 runs on Friday, 13 runs on Saturday, and then on Sunday of all days, 2-1 yesterday. That 2-1 game still took more than 3 hours, but it is what it is. I was thankful for only 3 runs scored. The Rebels trailed 1-0 for the majority of the game. However, Thomas Dillard welcomed a relief pitcher, Graham Ashcraft, who had transferred from Mississippi State. His first pitch left over the center field wall to tie it 1-1 in the sixth. And then in the seventh, with 2 outs and a runner at first base, Tyler Keenan hit a ball into right field. The right fielder kind of bobbled it, and Anthony Servideo scored from first base to take the lead, and that was that. The eighth inning was a little rocky for Ole Miss. They got through it. They ended up winning 2-1. They stayed where they were in the polls or moved up one spot. That was in the D1 baseball poll this morning. They moved to number 9 nationally. They got a big week ahead with Louisville and Alabama. But I talked about it last night in the 3 outs video. You can find that at rebelgrove.com or on YouTube. And I, frankly, maybe the play of the weekend, because that was a series Ole Miss really needed to sweep. Karesi still was not necessarily locating that fastball as well as he needs to. He doesn't appear to trust the breaking ball. He's just not throwing very many of them. Velocity's good. It was 94-95 all day. But so, Neil, I don't know if you saw this or not. I'll run you through it real quick. UAB has runners on first and third with one out in the eighth. It is 2-1 Ole Miss. And with a 2-2 count, I believe, the runner at first base takes off to steal. Parker Karesi throws a ball by the hitter, strikes him out for out two, and Ole Miss was allowing the guy to go to second. It was going to be catcher indifference. They were going to let the dude take the base. But the batter that strikes out just kind of wanders in front of the plate. I don't know what he was doing, where he was going. So Cooper Johnson does a pump fake, knowing all well he's not throwing the ball, but acts like the guy's in his way. Mike Bianco comes out to ask for a review, ask for them to talk about it. They get the interference call, ending the inning, and then the ninth went pretty anticlimactically.
I was just glad that we didn't have to deal with a couple of losses and all the fallout, because just wasn't prepared for it.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I still think, look, I think things are going to come down to what this bullpen can do, because they've got decisions to make. I think you can tell me about whether I'm right or wrong. I think Karachi is as important as anybody on that team. Because if he can lock up the back end of the bullpen and get big outs late in games, it's going to give them some flexibility that they may not otherwise have if he can't return somewhere close to his form of a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And yesterday was a step in the right direction. He looked the same as last year, or early last year, yesterday. He's just not necessarily spotting things. You know, what made him so good wasn't even necessarily the velocity. It was the fact that early on, he didn't walk anybody. He threw the ball in the strike zone. He could show just enough breaking ball to be okay. And he's just kind of flying open. That fastball is just sort of all over the place. He's getting behind in counts. And I mean, I think we only saw one slider the entire five-out save yesterday. I mean, it's just fastball over and over and over and over and over again right now. And I don't think that plays long-term.
Does he not trust the other stuff right now?
That's what it looks like. He threw one, and he kind of even gave up on it. It missed the strike zone by a foot and a half. It was well outside.
Well, so what you're just telling me is that this is mental.
Mental? I mean, frankly, some of it's probably rust, and they probably need to keep getting him in games more often, because, I mean, it's a good thing, but it's kind of a bad thing, too, because you're weighing that, hey, we don't need to use him just to use him, because we need to save his arm, and we're up 10 runs, and the offense is scoring 15 runs a game. But at the same time, he's got to get into some kind of rhythm. You've got to pitch him enough to keep him in the flow of the season.
So we're not.
I mean, he hadn't thrown in a week.
Yeah, so we're not going to do another one until Thursday. What are you expecting tomorrow and Wednesday in Louisville?
I don't know from a starting pitching standpoint. I still think it's possible they give Doug Nikhazy the ball again on a midweek because of Zach Phillips. We'll talk about him in a second. The other game, maybe Jordan Fowler, just because that's what they did last week. Might give Caleb Hill a first start. Mike didn't know yesterday, and he typically knows on Sundays who he's going to throw in the midweek. I think he's still trying to figure that out. Houston Roth threw a bullpen yesterday, feels better. He's going to travel, but Mike would not promise that he would pitch during this midweek. They're just going to take him and kind of see how he feels on Tuesday or Wednesday. He told me they're not going to rush it at all. They'll wait it out if they have to with Houston Roth. So I don't know. I mean, I really think they're trying to try to figure it out there with him. But, you know, I want to see what another week looks like with Zach Phillips. I think he earned a start against Alabama. He'd been progressing okay, but just not getting to the point they needed. And then last night, or on Saturday night, he allows one run in seven innings. He strikes out seven. He walks one. Tells us after the game that he learned a slider in 5 days. I've never heard that before. I'll take his word for it. He said that he started playing around with it in the bullpen. And it's probably more of a cutter than a slider. He kept calling it a slider. Mike kept calling it a cutter. And it just sort of stays on the fastball plane. It's not necessarily a strikeout pitch, but it does move. It's got a lot of late life. He threw 18 of them on Saturday. 16 went for strikes. That's pretty efficient. And it just gave him a lot of confidence. He retired 10 of the last 11 batters he faced on Saturday night in a game that ended about 11 p.m. So, he was good. we'll see. I mean, UAB's not a bad offense. Now, they'd played no one on the weekends. Their schedule had been horrid on the weekends. They'd played Radford, Holy Cross, and SIU Edwardsville coming into the series against Ole Miss. They had 2 1-run losses to SEC teams in the midweek with Mississippi State and Alabama. But Phillips wasn't bad. Hoagland was not very good yesterday, but he managed it. He only gave up a solo home run, throwing, I think, 3 1/3 innings or something. And because Mike had a fresh bullpen, he just got to the hook quick, went to Austin Miller and Connor Green back-to-back, who continue to be tremendous. They retired or stranded 5 runners in the 2 innings that they came in independently of one another, and now they have thrown 25 innings combined, I believe. 25.2 innings combined. They have struck out like 23. They walked one, and they've allowed one run together. So that's getting it done for Ole Miss. And that's kind of what you talked about as we kind of wrap this up, is if Karasi can be what he's supposed to do, you might have a real dynamic thing going with Miller and Green if they're just trying to bridge to Parker at the back end.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. I mean, it's becoming a big enough sample size that you can start to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, 25 innings is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big enough sample size to build off of it. And if he's on the back end and reliable, well, now, you know, you're asking for guys like Phillips and Hoagland is, hey, get me into the fifth inning. Get me into the fifth inning. Get me to the sixth inning competitive. We'll go from there, because Ole Miss's lineup is the type that over the course of a weekend is going to stress another opponent. It's going to stress the other pitching staff. So if you can, I don't know. I think Krejci's really, really important, because if he can't give you anything, I think it takes away a lot of Mike's flexibility. Now, you know it better than I do. I mean, I'm just following it from reading your stuff and just kind of following along. I haven't been out there, but that's what it feels like, just kind of keeping up with them. I'm interested to see what this week looks like at the end. I think they need to get one in Louisville, just because of you don't want your losses to pile up. And then you hate to say that a weekend you need a sweep, but they kind of need a sweep.
You can't be, I mean, obviously this is a dust statement. You can't be any worse than 4-2 after the first week, 2 weekends. And frankly, you kind of need to be 5-1.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
yeah.
It's Bama and Missouri in a league that is so good. I mean, we'll get into more of that as the week goes on, but so we'll see. I will point out one thing. This is kind of the media. This is me in general. We probably haven't talked to him about him enough, because, you know, Dillard's stats have been so overwhelming with everybody. I mean, he's hitting .434. He's got 7 home runs. His Dillard's OPS at the moment is, let me do some quick math, 1468, I believe. That's pretty good.
He lost 500 points off his OPS
in like 10 days.
Yeah.
That's really a slump, isn't it?
Dillard slumping.
Yes. UAB did intentionally walk him twice yesterday.
I'm not criticizing that.
Every time there was a base open, they just put him on.
Yeah.
But here's where I'm going for that. And here's where I really like, everybody criticizes Mike's lineups for a lot of different reasons. I really like what he's doing with Ryan Olenek right now, putting him in the 5-hole, because it allows him to just swing. It puts him right behind Dillard, and they start walking him. Well, you're running into a guy like Olenek that, frankly, we're not talking about enough right now. He's playing a much better center field than he did 2 years ago. He's been very solid out there. And then B, he's hitting .458. He has at least one hit in every game this season except for one, the game against East Carolina. Is the only game this year he didn't have a hit in. I mean, currently his OPS is .1122. And he's just getting on base. He's also stole 5 bases at this point. I mean, his own base percentage is .529. He doesn't necessarily have the power, of course, as Keenan and Dillard, but he does lead the team with 5 doubles. He's only 15 doubles away from the school record for a career. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's kind of pacing this lineup because what they're doing around Dillard. You've got Keenan in front of Dillard right now, which I kind of would like to move that around a little bit, but nonetheless, with you've got Keenan and Olenek bracketing Dillard like they are, they're going to have to pitch to him at some point, and I do think that makes the middle of this order really, really, really potent right now.
What would you do? Would you switch Keenan and Dillard?
Yeah, I think I would go Dillard 2, Keenan 3, Olenek 4. Because I don't, I'm not playing Little League. I'm not worried about the guy hitting the most home runs in the four spot.
That's what I would do too. It's why I love when the Cubs hit Rizzo after Bryant.
Yeah, I think I would go Servideo, Dillard, Keenan, Olenek, and I wouldn't even mind going Olenek, Keenan, if you want to know the truth, because it kind of keeps Dillard and Olenek moving on the base pass a little more than putting Keenan in the middle of them. You know what I mean? Like, you don't put the lumbering guy in the middle. So I wouldn't mind that. I think I would hit Zabowski fifth, and then I would hit Gray sixth. I think it would free Gray up a little bit to just swing. You know, whether it's intentional or not, I think leaning a guy off adds some pressure to him a little bit. So
I think it's one of those deals where, especially for a kid like Gray, who's been around baseball since like the womb, just when you hit in that spot, I just think you start getting in your mind, okay, I need to take some pitches, and this needs to be a feel him out at bat. And I don't know. And for some
guys, he's a free swinging kid. I mean, he walks a lot, but it's mostly because of the eye more than any kind of approach. He doesn't have an approach to be patient at all.
Yeah, that's a weird spot. Everybody, you know, puts their fast guy or whatever in that spot, but I think you just gotta. I would take whoever my most patient guy is and put him in that spot. And I'm like you. I like free swingers hitting a little further down in the lineup where they can just be themselves.
I mean, Gray, he's let off every game so far this season, and his OPS currently is .624.
Yeah, it's not working.
I mean, so that's, you know, 64 at bats. It's not the smallest sample size in the world at this point.
I love your strategies too. It's why with the Cubs, I want them to hit Bryant 2, Rizzo 3, Baez 4th. I want pitchers to be able to basically pitch around Bryant, because he'll take walks, and then, but you know, you put him on and now you got to pitch to people. And I like letting the dangerous hitters hit when they know they're going to get something to hit.
Yeah. So more baseball at rebelgrove.com. I'll have some semblance of this in written form later today or in the morning. And then Ole Miss and Louisville again, 5:00 Eastern tomorrow, if I'm right. Let me check that while I've got everybody on the line here. And then a day game on Wednesday, I'm assuming, because it's a kids' day game. It usually is. So just a just guess there. Actually, I'm even a little off. It's a 3 p.m. start on Tuesday, so 3 o'clock for Ole Miss and Louisville Central, and then 11 a.m. on Wednesday Central. So Central time, 3, and then 11 in Louisville. So just a little heads up about that. And let's see, Alabama 6:30, 1:30, 1:30 over the course of the weekend. So more at rebelgrove.com. A lot there already, Nils. 10 thoughts, plenty of stuff from the weekend as Ole Miss beat Missouri, baseball, and more. And we'll talk to you later in the week.